Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You heard in the update, we've been talking about it all morning. We know when and we know who. Saturday night, the Lions host the Commanders, divisional round of the playoffs. John, it's who you said you wanted.
Yep. The Commanders, bring them on.
And I don't like the matchup. I love the matchup. We got TJ Lang in studio. TJ, how do you feel about Washington?
Yeah, I mean, we broke it down Friday when I was in with the afternoon guys and kind of ranked, you know, 1-4 who we want to play. Washington was my number one. Just because, like you guys said, you match up well with them. I think your offensive line has a massive advantage over their D-line. I think your run game has a massive advantage over Washington's defense. So, and I know that the talk all week is going to be, oh my God, running quarterback, you know, blah, blah, blah. Which, yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to have their hands full with Jaden Daniels, no doubt, right? Especially a guy that's playing with house money. I mean, you know, he could be dangerous. But I like the matchup. I mean, Detroit is a tested team. You know, they've been through these games, you know, for not only the last half of the season, but going back to last year as well. So I'm with you, man. John, are you torn this morning? I know you were, you said you were still rooting for the Lions. I know that.
But yeah, yeah. Are we supposed to ask you this every time that the Lions play?
I do get asked every time the Green Bay Packers play. I'm glad they don't have to this year. But no, I do. I do think it is a good matchup. And you look at Washington, and yeah, it's been great what they've done this year. I think yesterday made it 7 wins in the last 30 seconds, you know, that team
that they've
has had. So, you know, props to them. They're finding a way to win close games. I just can't help myself but to think that it's not going to be very close next week when they come to town.
I don't feel like it's going to be either. And we've both had experiences as, you know, our first time in the playoffs. You were there with a very experienced quarterback. How much do you think the experience that the Lions had last year pays dividends this year in not just getting the NFC Championship game, but finding ways to get over the hump, whether it's the divisional round, the NFC Championship game, and just getting to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge because you know what it takes, right? Yeah. And I think we saw that experience pay off the last game of the season versus the Vikings. You know, the Lions didn't look like the moment was too big for them. They looked like a team that's like, yeah, we know what it's like to be in a must-win game. I've got to have a game. We know some of the mistakes that you can't make in those games, and you kind of lean back on those memories a little bit to kind of remind yourself, okay, like, let's not panic. And that's why I said all year long with Dan Campbell and some of the decisions that he was making going forward on fourth downs and some of like the high stressful moments, I think a lot of that was by design, because you know you're going to have to rely on those plays come playoff time when you need a big fourth down. Look at last night. I mean, I think Washington was 3-4 on fourth downs, or 3-5, I want to say, on fourth downs. But the Lions have that experience, whether it's a high-stress play, got-to-have-it play, hey, this is a big drive, we have to get points. They've had that experience, not only from Dan being so aggressive this season, but you're right, John, going back to you know, the run that they had to the NFC title game last year.
When you were playing, the first playoff game that you played in, was there an eye-opening moment? Because there's different speeds of the NFL season. Obviously, preseason is different than the regular season. You get to the end of the season and you're playing against Minnesota for the division, for the one seed, there's a different speed. There's a different speed when you get to each and every round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
What was your initial reaction to, holy crap, this is a lot faster? Because it's, you could see it on it comes across the TV. Like, it's more intense, it's more physical, it's faster. But what was your personal response or reaction to, holy crap, how fast is this game gonna get?
The speed definitely, but I think more so the pressure, you know, man, if I have a bad play, normally in the regular season, now if I get beat, okay, you know, let's fix it, right? I'm not happy about it, but it's gonna suck watching on film Monday, you know, but let's learn from it. Playoff game, it's like, cost the team your season, right? If you're having bad play. So I think the pressure can get to a lot of young guys, because there is no coming in Monday and fixing it. You're going in Monday and packing your locker and getting out of there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys looking around like, man, like, you know, kind of let us down a little bit. So I think the pressure gets to you more when you think that, you know, hey, one negative player, you know, oh man, I didn't do my job. You know, does that cost you the season? But that's why, you know, and I remember being a young player. I mean, my rookie year, I think we went out to Arizona in the wild card game, ended up getting into a shootout. Our left tackle got hurt, so I had to play like the whole fourth quarter into overtime.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my goodness, like this, these guys are flying. Like, I don't want to be the guy to let up a big sack or something. You know, we end up losing that game. But the more playoff games I played in, you know, the more you started
to get accustomed to it, you get used to it.
Playoff football is. Yeah. And I think that obviously that run last year that they had to the NFC Championship game and getting out to a 7-point lead. A 17-point lead, they understand what it takes to be successful in those moments. And they also understand what it takes to be consistent and keep it going, right? Because I think they know just as well as they built a lead last year, they understand in the playoffs how quickly it can disappear, too.
Yeah.
So I think that's a valuable lesson as well.
What your reactions? 248-539-9797. It's the Commanders. It's Saturday night. It's Ford Field. And again, all the credit in the world to Jaden Daniels for going on the road and picking up a win as a rookie in the NFL playoffs, right? It hasn't happened often. He's just the fourth quarterback to do it. It was Flacco, Mark Sanchez, and Russell Wilson, the other three. Now, Flacco and Mark Sanchez won a second road game after it. But guys, I think there's a big jump from playing at Tampa to playing in the Lions Den in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last night, there were MVP chants.
Yeah.
For Jaden Daniels.
You heard Washington fans.
Washington fans were loud. Guys, they're not going to have a presence at Ford Field. This is going to be a true hostile environment for a rookie quarterback. It's a completely different environment. And I do think Aaron Glenn's going to have to blitz to get pressure. I'd like blitzing a rookie quarterback. I don't want to have to blitz a veteran quarterback. I think this is a good matchup. As much as Daniels is going to make a play or two in this game, I think it's a good matchup for the Lions.
Yeah, and you're going to have to, you know, kind of your recipe all season is, you know, let's get out to that early lead. Let's make the other team uncomfortable, right? You can't afford a Buffalo performance where the first two drives are three and out, and then you're down, you know, 21-7, whatever it was, Buffalo, and then you know, second half coming out, you know. I think in that Buffalo game it was punt and then it was a fumble or interception, I want to say. So you can't afford that against good teams like this that can give them any sort of hope. So I think that you're right. A big key, too, is you mentioned it, Aaron Glenn. I mean, I think he's going to have to be a bit of a chameleon these playoffs, right? I don't think you can afford really that, hey, we're going to rush four-man coverage. He did a great job against Minnesota mixing up a lot of pressures and mixing up a lot of zone blitzes and dropping guys into coverage and bringing extra guys off the edge. I mean, I know we kind of dogged on Sam Darnold and his performance, but you go back and watch that game. I mean, they were throwing him off a little bit with some of the pressures. You know, even that one play where I think it was a fourth down, he threw a quick fade to Jefferson and he overthrew it. Well, people don't, you know, you watch that play, Brian Branch is flying off the edge and he gets a piece of Sam Darnold. So you know what I mean? You're going to have to be timely with some of these blitzes. And I think you can confuse some rookie quarterbacks. I think that's the last thing that comes with some young quarterbacks sometimes, John, is identifying all the protections. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys now, they just rely on, okay, if I'm wrong, I'll just use my legs to get out of it. So I think there is going to be an opportunity, especially being at home with the noise, to try to confuse that offense a little bit for Washington and get some free runners at the quarterback. Now, you got to bring them down, right? Because we all know with quarterbacks like that, you miss. And it's like, oh boy, watch out.
Well, there's a lot of grass.
The end of that game, Kalijah Kancey, he makes a play in the middle.
Yeah.
He's got the quarterback, right, but he gets a little stiff arm, a little speed from Daniels, picks up the first, and they can kick the game-winning kick with 0 seconds on the clock. If Kancey makes the play, you force him to kick the field goal, and at least you have like 30 or 40 seconds to try to respond. But you can't whiff there.
Yeah, and I'm curious as to how Aaron Glenn does things post-snap. Because there's one thing to get up the line of scrimmage, right? Hey, you know, you get your basic checks, and you're looking at the defensive front, you're looking at the coverage, you put a guy in motion, and all of a sudden, okay, you're trying to identify man or zone. But then when, and that's easy at that point to be able to make calls, make some adjustments.
Yeah.
When things change post-snap, which in the NFL they're going to, and they should, that's where you're really starting to test a young quarterback and how comfortable, how much does he trust what he sees? How much does he trust what he knows, his reaction? Because some of those things you can't think about. There's not time to think about it after the snap.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, how can you force some errors with a young quarterback? And I think the answer should be yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because so many young quarterbacks are taught, hey, versus man coverage, we're doing this, yes. right? So if you show man coverage and then all of a sudden, oh, no, they dropped into cover four, right? It kind of stalls you for that split second. So no doubt it's going to be interesting what they do on defense. I think it's also going to be interesting to see what they do with the return of David Montgomery.
Yeah.
I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, what he did the last, you know, three games and getting better every game, you know, averaging, what, 160 all-purpose yards, couple touchdowns a game. Like, are they going to go back to split time with him and Montgomery? Or do you kind of ride with, like, hey, Jahmyr's more of our bell cow lead guy. Let's get David kind of mixed back into things, you know, on some third downs or some, you know, hey, some power run second and short. But
or do you
that's
going to
be interesting
Montgomery
to me because Jahmyr Gibbs has been so damn good over the past three weeks.
And you don't want to underestimate a defense, right? They still got Daron Payne in there. They still got Jonathan Allen in there. But do you somewhat, hey, let's let David Montgomery get comfortable again. And maybe instead of 12 or 13 carries, he only gets 7 or 8. The other ones are given to Gibbs. But on the flip side, you want to make sure that you don't overwork Gibbs because you know you're going to need him against Philly or the Rams or the Vikings and then obviously in the Super Bowl. Like there's kind of a juggling act. It'll be interesting to see how they do play that, you know, that relationship, that ratio of runs to carries to touches with those two guys.
I know. I'm with you. And Jahmyr Gibbs, since being the lead guy, has been
he's taken over.
But he's been a huge threat out of the backfield as a receiver, too.
Yeah.
I mean, averaging, you know, 4 catches and 45, 50 yards, whatever it is, too. So that'll be interesting to see what the game plan is. Obviously, going to be a big storyline come Saturday night. I was kind of surprised that, you know, the schedule, I thought they were going to put both NFC games on Sunday, just especially with the Rams and Vikings playing tonight.
Especially
with all the AFC teams playing early this weekend. I was thinking Lions were going to be that afternoon Sunday game, but hey, let's get it kicked off Saturday night, man. You know Ford Field is going to be, man, that place is going to be rocking.
Bonkers.
Oh, it's going to be bonkers.
I'm so glad, too, we get a chance to watch it Saturday night, and then
you'll have to
get up early on Sunday morning. Yep.
No kidding.
It'll be a nice mix-up.
Exactly. All right, guys, you know the deal now. You know who it is. You know when it's going to be. How do you feel about it? The best and worst parts of this matchup, it's 97.1.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, and it's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience absolutely built for us, the sports fan, and boy, do we have some big moments coming up. Chill in one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of the massive screen located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street at Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We're going to get to the phones. Want to hear from you guys. Ticket text open as well. TJ Lang in studio for the final hour on Monday. It's game week. We've been waiting all year for this. We knew the Lions would be in the playoffs. Real season starts now. And they'll host the Commanders on Saturday night at Ford Field. 8.5-point favorites.
It's exciting that we're finally here because this is something that we have talked about. I mean, we started way back at the draft schedule. Honestly, right after the season was over. And it was painful to lose in the NFC Championship game, especially after you had a 17-point lead. It was out in San Francisco, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this is all built up to this week. The season, free agency, the draft, everything has led up to this week. And it's so exciting that we're finally here. And we want to see, can the Lions fulfill all the expectations we've heaped on them? Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, they've all talked about it. I mean, it's all right here.
The matchup, it's the Commanders, okay? It's the team John wanted to play most. It's the team TJ wanted to play most. I prefer the Packers, but it's the same thing here. You're getting a matchup that you can exploit. We know the Lions have to win with offense, and they're going to face the worst defense remaining in the playoffs. They're going to face one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. This is for the Lions to dictate tempo, to dictate time of possession, to keep their defense off the field. And they can't hide. They are going to have to make some plays, but they get a rookie quarterback. Hey, he's going to roll to his right. You're going to need him to make a mistake or two, but it's at your house in a loud, hostile environment. Like, this is an ideal matchup.
TJ, I don't want this to sound like I'm undervaluing the Commanders. You know, there's a reason they're the Lions are an 8.5-point favorite in Vegas. That's how they opened up. And there's a reason why, you know, the Lions were 15-win team. They were 12, the rookie, all those different things. But is this a game where Aaron Glenn, as we talk about the defense a little bit more, contesting some things out against a player like Jaden Daniels, who's not Lamar Jackson, he's not Josh Allen, he's not Patrick Mahomes, he's not Jalen Hurts, but he has some of those traits. And is this an opportunity for Aaron Glenn to be able to test out a couple of concepts that maybe he has that he wants to use on some of those big dogs, but that he could see a little bit if they work or not against a mobile quarterback like Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, maybe. But I think when you get in the playoffs, it's more, hey, we got to, you know what I mean? I don't think
it's all about the win. He's going to have to come up with something better for Josh Allen than he did when they played at Ford Field.
Yeah. Does it cut both ways, though? Like, if you have to put some of that on film to stop Daniels, now teams have an idea of how you're going to attempt to stop.
Well, I think you're going to have to do it naturally.
Yeah.
Like, just by game plan.
Because he has those
traits. Right, yeah. Because he is that type of player. And we know that Aaron Glenn hates the word spy, I think, early in the season. Go watch when teams spy. Tell me how that works out. You know, so he hates that.
Well, and I know that linebacker coach Kelvin Shepard feels the same way. Yeah. And he has said, because you got a flat-footed linebacker who has to try to stop on a dime side to side with some of the most dangerous athletes in the sport, it's silly to tell one guy, hey, you got Lamar. Yeah. Good luck.
And I think that having Anzalone back is going to make a massive impact as well. He didn't play that Buffalo game where things were just all out of sorts. I mean, everybody was like, just stop Josh Allen, right? So I think that they got some valuable experience. The other guys that played in that game against going against a guy like Josh Allen, that hopefully they can, okay, we did this against, we don't have to do that this time. But I think your edge guys are going to be crucial this week too. You know, Za'Darius Smith and whoever's on the other side, whether it's Pascal or Muhammad, can those guys kind of press the pocket and keep Jaden Daniels contained? Because that's where guys like that get scary, when you say, okay, I think I can win on the inside. I can beat this right tackle, you know, with an inside rip. But if I miss, you know, big play over the top. We did see that a lot in that Buffalo game. So I think those guys are going to be huge. How can they kind of compress the edges? And then guys on the middle too. DJ Reader has been improving, in my opinion, as a run guy. Or I'm sorry, even when it comes to defending pass plays and rushing the passer. What I saw yesterday just from Washington's offensive line is like, man, if you can cover those guys for the first couple seconds, there's a lot of chances to get some pressure up the middle and at least force Jaden Daniels off platform to hopefully give you a couple mistakes, because that's what it's going to come down to, right? Third downs, turnovers, who can punch in touchdowns in the red zone. Washington was great at it yesterday. They did a great job of keeping Tampa Bay off the field. Tampa, I think Washington was, 50%+, 8 of 15 on their third downs. They controlled the ball. I think they had the ball for 36 minutes to Tampa's 24. They only had 44 offensive plays. So if it does turn into a game like that, you're going to have to score every possession for your offense. But your defense, you got to get just one, two stops and, let your offense get out to that two score lead to really start making things uncomfortable for the guys on the other side.
Yeah, make it snowball.
Yeah.
Let's get to Kevin and Warren. Kevin, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, my take on it is, when we listen to the callers call in and they speak collectively like, we can't be overconfident. We can't be cocky. The fan base are not the Detroit Lions players. So we can feel however we want, and the Lions are going to feel totally different because you know what? They're not going to be overconfident. They're going to be prepared to win. Campbell is going to have them ready. They're not going to look past this team. So to all the fans out there, you can be as nervous as you want. You can be concerned. It doesn't matter to the Lions. They're going to perform. A couple other things, too, is like, objectively, the Lions are a better team. Mm-hmm. And we wanted Washington. If you would have given us our druthers before we started the playoffs who we wanted to play, we would want to play Washington because we are objectively better. And you know what? A slightly easier road to the Super Bowl is a good thing. So I'm thrilled that they're going to be playing Washington. And I know Dan Campbell and that coaching staff is going to have this team ready. And they're going to come out and they're going to perform. And the other thing, too, is we talked about the fourth downs the Lions go for consistently to build up that tension. They've also been in primetime games all season long. I've lost count if it's been four or five between Sunday nights, Mondays, Thanksgiving. They are ready for the shining spotlights, and they're going to step into that spotlight and take a bow by the time that game's over. So go get them, Lions, and God bless you guys. You're doing a great job.
Well, Thanks, Kev. Because that would be an massive – look, you don't want to make it seem like we're overconfident. Like, you know, this is the greatest matchup they could have ever had in history, right? Like, the Washington, they're still they won 13 games this year, right? I mean, so you don't want to discredit them, but I think it would just be such a massive letdown, right, in this matchup. You know what I mean? Like, if you were playing the Vikings again or Packers again and it's division, obviously we expect to win those games, but when you're going against a third matchup, weird things can happen, right? When you're going against this Washington team, it's like you need to establish your dominance. You need to kind of send a message to not only, you know, other teams that are still in the playoffs, but kind of your team as well. Like what Dan Campbell said after that Minnesota game, it looks like you guys were, you know, remembered who you are, right?
Oops. That's apparently that got over
there.
That's the wrong drop. That drop is labeled. You guys look like you remember who the F you are. I'm gonna try that again.
Not the right one.
Yeah, that's not the drop. So
wrong one.
Wrong button.
Yeah, but I think they need to, you know.
Yeah, exert some dominance and send a message. Like, okay, the regular season sends a message. And I think the way that they played against Minnesota definitely sent a message. They played with violence. They played with aggression. And it, not just offensively, but defensively, they set the tone so that anybody coming into Ford Field, now that the Lions did attain that one seed, knows exactly what they're up against. And it's not an enviable position for Washington looking at Ford Field, looking at everything that Detroit does offensively, looking at what they're doing defensively, trying to figure out what's the defense going to look like, what's Aaron Glenn going to be calling. But the fact that you've got Kirby Joseph in the back end, who, you know, was an all-pro but not a pro bowler, and, you know, how much of a chip on his shoulder is he going to have? Brian Branch, same thing. Like, all of these different guys that – and you're also playing against a team that was knocked out of the NFC Championship game last year. They were one step away. I think Washington will be very aware, even though they got a lot of young guys, Dan Quinn is going to be very aware of the hornet's nest that he is stepping into.
To the caller's point, I do think there are fans who think they're on the team. Like, if they overlook the Commanders, somehow that means it's going to infiltrate Dan Campbell's game prep. And, like, I don't mean this as a diss. It's a compliment. Like,
that's why we're fanatics.
Dan Campbell's got this.
Yeah.
Right? I know it's cut both ways. When the Buffalo game happened, there was a lot of, like, animosity and negativity, and people are going, you can't, we're not on the team. The team's not going to think that way. We can ride the roller coaster a little more as fans because we're not doing film study tonight. We're not putting pads on Saturday night. We're not going to be held accountable or responsible if we blow an assignment because we looked past the Commanders. The team will take them seriously. Dan Campbell has this team as a well-oiled machine, and the bye week, I don't think it's going to slow them down. The last time they had a bye week, they came out and throttled the Cowboys. This team needed to get off their feet for a couple days. I think the offensive line is a veteran group that was getting beat up a little bit. I look to see them establish immediately, the way they did the first playoff game last year, the tone. March up and down the field and make them keep up.
Jim, I agree with you that there are people obsessed with this team. I don't think there's anybody out there that thinks they actually are playing on the team.
The way they act.
No,
fans.
Obsession, yes.
Certain
fanatics,
fans.
Like Jim.
They think their mentality.
Yes.
They think they're on the team. I really think there are people out there who act.
Text
like
us if you know somebody or if you actually think yourself is on the team. Like, if you actually think. I'd love to hear the story. We'll share it.
I got your point.
We'll get those stories. And I want to get more of TJ's thoughts from the weekend, John. Why don't we get some of TJ's takeaways from the NFL wildcard weekend beyond just the Lions? We'll do that next, 97.1. Tom, let me know if we have any texters that think they're on the team. Oh, he gave me a thumbs up. We'll get to those in a second. Just, we've been confident. People are like, oh, no, they're going to over... John's not overlooking them because John's not playing on Saturday. Neither am I, neither is TJ, and neither are you. You can feel confident that the Detroit Lions got a good draw and will handle their business on Saturday. I don't understand the being afraid thing. It's a 15-win football team with a great matchup.
Well, I want to make sure that everybody understands that there still needs to be a healthy respect. These are playoff teams. This is divisional round. You've got to respect your opponent. You've got to respect the process of preparing. If you don't, then you're going to be one of those cautionary tales.
Well, I don't have to respect the process of preparing. Dan Campbell does, and I trust Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn and this veteran group of players that played in the NFC title game to treat this as a playoff football game.
Right. And you've got to respect it so that we don't sound like idiots. in regards to proclaiming that this is going to be a 40-point win.
And like, I haven't said that, but can we say this is the worst playoff team remaining? Right? I mean, they're the worst defense remaining.
Yeah, you could say run defense. Yeah.
And what are the Lions built on? Running the football, possessing it, play action passing, time, like all of it is built on running the football. Yeah. If Detroit's going to win, it's going to be led by their ground game first. Well, they just drew the 30th ranked rushing defense. Like, are we allowed to bring that up or are we overlooking that?
No, it's fine. I think it's fine to, like we all been, you know, been talking about, we like the matchup.
Yeah.
Right? We like the way we match up on them. Now, we don't want to get, I'm with John, we don't want to get overly confident by any means, but. You know, you look at Washington and what they've won, one, two, three, they've won their last six games, you know, so you also can't win one of those, you know, beating Philly. The other four, you know, not very impressive, but that's a team that's a young team, you know, probably no expectation to be here. Wow, man, look at look at what we're doing.
They're playing with house money. They got nothing to lose.
You go play free, you know, you don't have any pressure. Teams like that can sneak up on you sometimes, but I'm with you. We both can be true. We can be confident about the Lions and the matchup that they have. While also kind of saying, like, and we know, I'm with you, John, or two cookies, because I know they're not doing it in that building saying, like, oh, hell yeah, we wanted to play Washington. Yeah, like, bring it on. You know what I mean? You can't have that overconfidence.
You can't think that way. Not as a competitor.
And Dan Campbell doesn't allow them to think that way.
Their mentality is as important as anything else that's made this team so good.
They don't even make it about the other team most of the time.
No.
They make it about themselves. You know, as long as we play our style of football, we know exactly who we are.
It's a hallmark.
It doesn't matter who's coming in.
Hallmark of a great team. 15-win teams. 5 of the 7 made the Super Bowl before this season.
Yeah.
You're really good. You're in rarefied air.
Yeah.
A couple ticket texts. The best part of this matchup is it's a rookie quarterback. The worst part of this matchup is that the rookie quarterback is Jaden Daniels.
Well, it's the best rookie performance that we've seen in a long time. And, you know, there's something to be said for gaining confidence, knowledge, experience as the year goes on. A lot of that is just, as an athlete, when you go out there, you learn something, you play different the next time you're out there. His big jump is going to come when he has a chance to look at the film and actually study it versus just living it in the moment and trying to make a few corrections from week to week.
Dan Campbell's not going to let them going in there thinking they're going to smash them because that's just not how they do things. That's correct. Another one says, Washington just beat the team that beat us. They're struggling with they struggle with Daniels. This game is going to be closer than people think. He's not a rookie anymore. Lose the cockiness.
Again, I'm not sure. I don't really feel like we're being cocky. I think there's certainly a confidence that we believe the Lions would take the field with. And here's part of why I think that we're confident about it. And TJ, you just mentioned this. I don't know that I've ever been a fan or covered a team that is as focused. Or that has a leader that is so focused on the detail, so focused on the process, so focused on the task at hand, more than Dan Campbell. And I don't think he breaks character this week. I don't think he breaks character next week. It'll be interesting to see if they do win the Super Bowl, how he handles that. But I still, it's not in his DNA to look past Washington or to take them lightly.
Yeah. Well, and you combine that with the players' experience, too.
Right.
Of the playoff run that they had last year, right? And guys like that portraying the message to the young guys of what it takes, right? Hey, we can't afford – we're good enough in the regular season where if we play a bad team and we play a – you know, we saw it this year. We play a B-minus, C-plus. We're still good to win – you know, we're good enough to win by 10, 17 points.
Yeah.
You get in the playoffs, though. You play that B-minus, C-plus game. Anybody that you play in the playoffs can beat you.
There were 5 playoff games this weekend. 4 of them double-digit wins. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And those are playoff teams.
First four, yeah.
Yeah. So, like,
stinkers.
It was kind of disappointing. Yeah. I was all jazzed up for a really great day of football. And I don't know. I mean, even the Eagles and Packers game, it just didn't feel like it was high quality football.
Yeah.
Like, there was just mistakes on both sides. And you kept thinking, well, at some point, the Eagles are going to pull away. And they, you know, they won the game, but it didn't ever felt like they dominated Green Bay like they should have.
Yeah. And the AFC games were all stinkers.
Yeah.
You know, I heard you talking about Justin Herbert. My goodness. Like, what a putrid performance. Good Lord. And they were favored, too. I know you're going on the road. You're the lower seed, but
we thought, emphasis on thought, that they had buttoned everything up. that was like old Chargers. Yeah. We thought like Harbaugh's going to come in and avoid the stupid mistakes. Four interceptions for Justin Herbert. Not all on him, but I mean, just some bad throws, bad decisions. Didn't handle the moment again in the playoffs. Yeah, TJ, what did you take out of the weekend? Like, besides this whole Lions-Commanders thing.
I mean, kind of with John, like it kind of felt like a letdown a little bit. And starting with Saturday, I mean, both games were blowouts. You know, Pittsburgh, I was kind of surprised by their just like lack of urgency. They just looked like a bunch of guys that were like ready to go home. And Baltimore probably should have beat them by more.
Yeah.
You know, the Buffalo game yesterday, I mean, you punish a rookie quarterback. That's what we're hoping the Lions can do, right? You look at that Denver Buffalo game yesterday. Denver was riding high. Hey, rookie quarterback, man, this guy.
Come in, first drive, boom.
Buffalo said, you know what? We're the top dogs. Like, let's establish our dominance. They go out and kick their ass, right? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Our message kind of is about the Lions, what they're going to have to do to Washington.
You'll take their best shot.
Yeah, we'll take your best shot, you know, but hey, we're built to sustain, yep. Right? We're built to get better as the game goes on. Clearly, last night's game was the most entertaining of the weekend.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it was the only one that wasn't double digits, like you said.
Yeah, it came down to a field goal.
Yeah, but I honestly, looking at it, really, were there any real surprises? Like, I don't think so. I mean, maybe you could say the Chargers. I thought some of the games were going to be closer, but... Yeah. The teams that won were kind of like, okay,
yeah, mostly chalk. Yeah,
not really a surprise.
The higher seed won the first four games.
I think I'm curious to Green Bay looks like Jordan Love. I can't put my finger on it, but he didn't really play good football at all this season.
No.
You know what I mean? Like it was kind of that sophomore slump, second year full starter. Maybe teams have figured you out. I know he had some injuries, Christian Watson, but he looked like a guy that's like, man, if he's going to be their quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years, like, are they as scary as we thought they were kind of coming into the season? And I know they played us tight both games. Well, first game was, got a little out of hand, but that was kind of one of those, like, man, that's the performance you're going to have in a playoff game? Like, it just, to me, some
It wasn't the Thanksgiving Day performance that we saw from him last year.
Yeah. Yep.
Ticket Texter says, have TJ or John ever played a team where they thought they were overconfident playing another team, Kyle, at work? Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm regular season. I don't think playoffs, because you understand everybody in the playoffs there for a reason.
Yeah.
I remember a regular season game. I think we were 13-0, and we were going to play Kansas City, who was like 2-11. And it's like, okay, we're going to 14-0, man. Like, we got a chance going defeated. And we walked in there probably a little overconfident, got punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it rarely happens, but I think it does.
I'm trying to think. I mean, during the regular season, sure, there's times where you're looking at a team, especially if they've got injuries or if they've got, one of their key players is down. All of a sudden you go in and you think, well, let's put this one to bed and move on the next week. And then all of a sudden you find out that, hey, those guys are really good over there too.
Yeah. And players don't think that way, but if you're a player, you have plenty of games where you'll lose and you'll just be like, we lost to that team. Like, right. How did we lose that game?
Well, yeah, you look back at the Tampa game and you're like, okay, well, yeah, Tampa's a good team. They're a playoff team, but you had five trips in the red zone. How did they lose that game?
Right, yeah.
Buffalo, you look at that one and you go, okay, you got your ass kicked.
Yeah.
I know how you lost that game.
The text from people. It does. Text from people who think they're on the team. I'm on the team. I have the exact same ritual every game day, hat, jeans, coffee, house clean, and if I'm not prepared and I don't have everything in place, we will lose. I have to be ready to go.
That's a lot of pressure, man.
I know, it's a house clean. Don't throw that one in there.
Another one says, yes, there are people who think they're on the team. My group of friends have season tickets. They live and die through every snap. They think they have to be as drunk as possible to, quote, defend the den. They're on the team. Another one says, there are people who think they're on this team. I was at the game last year, and a guy walked down to the front row in the end zone and was doing the stretches with the players, Matt in Livonia.
Nice. Well, the best part of that is when you do something like that, and then they win, everybody thinks that they've got to do the same thing
right,
again.
Yeah.
It's like that one texter said, I got to do all of these different things, the checklist. If I don't do everything on my checklist, then they won't win.
I don't know if I even meant it as literally as these people have taken it, but I've just experienced it. When they lost to the Bills and we were critical, there were people that thought, you can't think that way. It's going to seep into the locker room as if they are on the team. And then when we come out and say, actually, I think they're really good. They're going to kick ass this week. You can't say that. That's going to seep into the locker room. We're on the team. give this team credit that they can insulate themselves from the noise, that this team is plenty good enough to get this thing done. No matter what we say or you say or anybody says on the outside, good or bad, this Lions team is built for it. We'll get more of your thoughts next, 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. And I am a beneficiary of that mindset, because they have adjusted their plan for me, and they have done it on a continual basis, and they continue to do that. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to get to know you and build a unique financial plan that is built for you. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. They volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Carson Anderson coming up in 10 minutes. Their full Monday show. We know who the Lions are playing. It's the Commanders. We know when the game will be. Saturday night, Ford Field. Ticket texter says Lions alt line. Lions by 20 points. Eric in Clarkston.
Lions by 20? I'm not sure I'm going to go that far.
Is that where we go from confident to cocky? I mean, they're 8.5-point favorites. We saw double-digit wins for the majority of wild card weekend. I don't think it's out of the question the Lions thump them pretty harsh.
Yeah, but I think Washington is, they're just a scrappy enough team to be able to stick within a couple of scores.
And Jaden Daniels, here's the thing. They're going to give him four downs. They're going to match Campbell's aggressiveness, and they convert more of them than anybody in football, and it's because Daniels gives you so many issues. No, I think they will have some big plays. I think there will be frustrating moments where he extends a third or a fourth down, where McLaurin makes a great play down the field, where they finish a drive that you thought you had them. But at the end of the day, I feel like the Lions will just keep moving it methodically up and down the field and pounding them into submission. This is the matchup to do it, one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Speaking of the Lions offense, Mark in a car says, it'd be a real shame if Ben Johnson remembered all the Washington executives who were bad-mouthing him to Schefter after he turned him down. It'd be a damn shame.
Yeah, I mean, that was odd.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't get what they want, you know, because that was weird. I mean, wasn't Ben on the flight out there and was like, eh, turn it around?
No, I think they were on their way here.
Oh, yes. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And
he texted him mid-flight and says, I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, when you got the power.
Yeah, if you can use it as a chip on your shoulder, we know we know the Lions like to hold grudges sometimes.
TJ, let me ask you, how do you want to see this game start? You know, I know that it's only Monday, game's not till Saturday, but if the Lions win the toss, you want to see the offense or defense first?
Ooh, good question. I think I would say offense. And
go on attack mode, put the pressure on them, get put seven up.
Get out to an early lead, make them uncomfortable on that side, make them start pressing a little bit earlier than they have to. Only because I do think, and once again, not trying to get overconfident, but I do think this is a game you could win by double digits. If we thought it was going to be a close game, I'm normally in favor of, hey, defer, let's try to double up. Let's try to get some points at the end of half and then get the ball coming out of the second half.
Can you get some of those double wide sunglasses for next Monday morning?
I was going to say, we still have... still have the disco gear, TJ. Will you wear that
to... You still got your Elton John shirt?
I do. Hey, if I get you a sized up version, will you wear it Friday with the guys?
No, I will not wear it before the, I will not wear it before the game.
It sounds like you're getting into the double-digit mindset here.
Nope.
Can we get you in sequins?
I just had a visual. I just had a visual. I just did the up-down on TJ.
Not a good visual.
Yeah, I don't want to see that either. I'm glad you said no.
Yeah, no, I don't want to get my head.
You're talking double digits for a second there. I didn't know. All right, tonight, who wins and who gives the Eagles a better game?
Oh, man, I thought I picked the Rams on Friday, but I'm 0-5 this weekend with the picks. So I'm kind of leaning Minnesota. And look, I think I did kind of change. I think Minnesota has a better shot to go and beat Philly. I think that with their defense, you know, they. I know against the Lions they weren't great, but They were pretty good at stopping the run. And I think that with Jalen Hurts and some of the blitz packages that Minnesota likes to run, you can confuse him a little bit. He's one of those quarterbacks that really doesn't seem to see the pressure all that great. So I'm starting to think that maybe Minnesota has a better chance than the Rams do of flying all the way Arizona, flying all the way back to LA, flying all the way out to the East Coast. You know, if they win tonight, going next week to knock off the Eagles. So I think I've changed my mind to Minnesota.
I think Minnesota probably gives the Eagles a tougher matchup. I don't think Minnesota gets the opportunity.
I'm with you too. A part of me thinks that the Rams match up really well with Minnesota, and a lot of young guys on that defense. I mean, Jared Verse and Fisk and some other guys, Kobe Turner. Like, they got some young guys up front that are dudes, man. Like, and they're young. They're don't know any better. They're just out there flying around having fun. And we know their offense.
Yep.
And Darnold, too. I mean,
if he's holding the ball, those young guys get to him.
He's got that hangover from last week. I mean, because it is kind of deja vu for him. Early in the season when they came to Detroit, they lost. Next week, had to go to L.A.
Lost.
So maybe they've got a little deja vu there, a little Lions hangover. And maybe did they lose a little confidence? Hey, that was the biggest game we played all season in Detroit, a must-have-it, one seed, bye week, and we got our ass kicked.
The Honolulu
like, there's
flu.
Part of you that, like, okay, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were, but, you know, you try to spin it, hey, a couple plays here or there. But you're right. I mean, Sam Darnold, is he going to bounce back to where he has played most the season, which is playing good football, or is this kind of the new thing where panicky Sam Darnold, big moments, isn't the guy that's going to make you
could
plays?
Put the ball on the money.
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, I can see it either way, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's very interesting, too, because Philly did not look invincible against Green Bay. I mean, two touchdowns in the first game from ideal field position on the opening fumble, kickoff.
Which
of the
I don't
game.
Even know if they recovered, to be honest.
I don't know if they did either.
I thought
either.
Green Bay recovered that.
But, yeah. You know. But it's not like the Eagles looked.
You're just a homer.
No, I mean, I'm just watching it. I was like, I think Green Bay jumped. Oh, well.